But all right, so this morning, we are going to continue to look at lament and what that means and how to do it and how it can be helpful for us in our lives. So what we're going to do today, I'm one of those people that whenever I learn something new or whenever I'm in class, which I haven't been in class in a long time, or whenever I'm going through training or anything like that, I love when things are broken down step by step. Show me what to do so I can learn and get out of there. That's how I love to do things. And this morning, that's what I have for you. So if you're that type of person, then hopefully this will appeal to you. And if you're not that type of person, maybe you'll learn to be that type of person, all right? But let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get going. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the time that we have to be here. Thank you for a building to come to and air conditioning to sit in and just all the blessings that we have. Even though it's been a hard, rough week for some of us here, we just praise you for the blessings that we do have. I pray that you would help us to be in your word this morning, to stay true to your word, that again, as always, it would be what you want us to hear and not my opinion and not the pride that I have, but truly just something that would guide us into how to live for you, God. And I pray that you would just bless that time, and we just love you so much. Amen. All right, so last week we started looking at lament and what that actually means. We learned that the basic definition of a lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. But before we get there, I do want to mention real quick, if we'll go back one slide. So this is the book that I'm using. I just want to continue to give credit where it's due. This is a great book. I'm taking a lot of what this author has taught me and kind of presenting it to you. So if you ever want to get this book, highly recommend it. It is great. But that's what we're going to be looking at. But now, last week we learned about lament. The basic definition is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. That lament is a type of prayer that we should turn to when we have grief or pain in our life and we're struggling with how to move on and we're struggling with what God is doing in our lives. We learned that lament recognizes two things: that evil exists, that hard times do exist, and that we are fully dependent on God through that. That's what a lament does. Lament is how you live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. Because we know that in that in-between space is really hard sometimes. And so I've learned that learning about lament, that for so many reasons so far, I've loved learning about it so far. And one of those is how lament prayers open up the realness in our lives, recognizing that we go through truly hard times and we struggle with wrestling with how we can be in such pain but also believe in an all-powerful, loving Father. And that's what laments do. It opens that up. And so turning to prayer through lament, we learned also last week that it is one of the deepest demonstrations of belief in God that we can go through. Because at the heart of lament, it's a way to walk through pain but still be focused on the truth of who God is. And so today we're going to continue to look at these prayers, and we're going to focus on how to lament. We're going to look at these guidelines of how to do that. And when we look at laments, this is going to be a general pattern that we can gather, an outline that gives us a way to look at biblical laments, understand them, and then apply them to our own personal prayers, apply them to our own lives. There are going to be four sections or steps that we'll look at today. And the thing is, not every single lament in the Bible is going to have all four of them. And they're not always in the same order. But these are guidelines that we can gather from biblical laments to show us the proper way to go to God when we truly have struggles. So the first step is turn. The first step we see in laments, and it may seem a little bit obvious, but to begin, there is always a turn. Turning to God in prayer. That's always the first step. The person in pain, when you are that person in prayer, chooses to talk to God about what is happening. So to start, there's always an address to God. You're turning to God. You're calling on him. You're talking with him. A good example of this is Psalm 77, verse 1. If you want to flip there, we'll be there for a little bit, and then we'll go to another psalm. But Psalm 77, verse 1, is going to be a good place to start. All right. So 77, verse 1. It says, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearing. My soul refuses to be comforted. So the psalmist here, he begins by acknowledging God, crying out to God. And it's not just a whine or a whimper, but an intentional change in focus. He's deciding, I'm going to start praying. I'm crying out to God. So the supply of grace that we can encounter comes as we step out of faith to reach out to God. We turn our attention from the hardships that we're in the midst of, and we turn our attention to the Redeemer of every hurt that we have. We turn toward God while we're still in pain. And that's important because if you see at the end of verse 2, it shows us that the pain isn't over. Look at verse 2 right there. It says, in the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. It's not saying this trouble was in the past. It's saying I'm in my trouble right now. My soul refuses to be comforted. He's in that pain right now. And so it's not like we only turn to this type of prayer after the grief and after the struggle are over, but while we're in the midst of it. That's why lament is such a strong tool to have in our arsenal as followers of Christ. Even the very act of beginning a lament prayer shows discipline in the fact that we are choosing not to turn away from God, not choosing to stay quiet in the struggles, not giving God the silent treatment. We're choosing to turn and talk to him. But in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives, we decide to come to God. That's the first step. You have to have the resolve to actually pause. Don't wallow in your self-pity and just turn to God in prayer. That's step one. Step two is a word that I'm very nervous to like say this to you guys. Step two is to complain. I was telling Jolynn up there while I was getting ready that I don't think I've ever heard anybody in church tell me to complain. So that's why I'm a little nervous. But the second step, this is one of those that's hard to accept, but when we are in the hard times, we choose to turn to God, and we see in laments that it's normal to complain, to cry out, to let God know what's wrong. It's not just to stay happy and fake it, like, oh, it's okay, this is easy, I've got it, everything's under control. No. The many, many laments that we have in the Bible and in the book of Psalms, we know they are laments because they are coming to God and complaining about hardships. And complaining might be a little bit strong of a word, but it's just a word to let God know, these things are going on and I do not like it, right? These complaints, though, even though we're coming to God and letting him know what's wrong and we're complaining about it, these are not permission for self-centeredness. It's not a permission for us to just be angry at God, but we're acknowledging who God is in view of our hardships. So it's not permission to vent self-centered rage at God. We're not suggesting that we have a right to be angry with God, but there is a category for biblical complaint. There's a writer, his name's Todd Billings. He explains it this way. He says, writers of laments and complaints in the Psalms often seek to make their case against God, frequently citing God's promises. They throw the promises of God back at him. So look at Psalm 77 again, if you're still there. Look at verse 7. It says, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Look at these complaints. Clearly, the author is troubled and he's going through something hard. And he's using the characteristics of God in his complaints. Because the thing is, we know, if you are a Christ follower, you know God has steadfast love. He stays true to his promises, that he is gracious and he is compassionate. But at this moment, the author of this psalm is not feeling those things. He's not seeing those things. He's struggling with what he's experiencing in life and what he knows to be true about God. He sees something in life he's experiencing right now, but I know these things about God. So this second step in lament, it's helpful because it speaks to something familiar. Because I feel I can honestly say with 100% honesty, all of us eventually discover that life is filled with unfairness. We've all been through that. We all have that in our lives. The longer we live, the more pain we see, the more unfairness we see. We understand God could intervene, but there are times, many times, when he chooses not to. And that is the tension of complaint. This is where we can see these laments meet us where we are, meet us in the pain and in the dark times and in the struggles that we have. Look at a few other examples of complaints that we see in Psalms. I think I have them thrown up on there. The first one is Psalm 22:1. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? That one might be a little familiar from Jesus on the cross. Psalm 44, it says, awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? Psalm 13, it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Psalm 35, it says, how long, O Lord, will you look on? We see all these verses, we see all these psalms, and they're calling out to God and say, why? How are you doing this? Why is this going on? These heartfelt questions have been in your Bible all along, and somehow they're easily missed. They're easily missed, or they've been easy to overlook because we assume they don't apply to our hardships and pains. That for whatever reason, we might think our struggles don't compare to what happened in the Old Testament. But the Psalms give us permission to lay out our struggles, to bring these times to God, these dark, hard times that we have. He can handle our pain, our pity, our blame, our fear, our anger that we feel. He can handle all those things. Our lives have sorrow. And sometimes we think the church or we think God only wants to hear the happy things. But true sorrow will have moments in our lives. And think about some of these sorrows. Think about some of these things. I'm going to bring us down. We'll get sad, maybe. But I'm going to bring us back up. We're going to point us in the right direction. But think about maybe you have some unfulfilled longings in your life. Something that you've wanted for years and years that God just hasn't made happen. Maybe you have loneliness in your life. You're by yourself and you've asked God, I'm so alone. Please give me somebody. Maybe you have an ailing body and you're sick. Or maybe there's unfairness in a job or unfairness in a family situation. Maybe there's financial struggles. Maybe there's a conflict in marriage or infertility or cancer or wayward children. All these struggles, these are truly hard things that we go through. All types of sorrow can enter into our lives and in our hearts. But these laments turn our powerless positions into a platform to call out to God. And the author of this book, he outlines four ways to help us complain the right way. Because we have all these sorrows, we have all these things, and it's really easy to get into a self-pity party, right? My mom, man, don't have a pity party around my mom. She'll let you know, straighten up, get it going. That's not what these laments are for. It's not for a pity party. We have to complain the right way. So there's four things that he says. The first thing that he mentions, he says, be humble. These prayers that we're to offer, they're not supposed to be proud. They're not supposed to be proud, demanding questions and a sense of self-entitlement, thinking that I deserve this, so God, why are you taking this from me? That's not the right attitude to have in these complaints. Always check arrogance at the door when you pray. Always check your arrogance before you start praying. The second thing is pray the Bible. If you don't know what to say, go to the Bible. There are so many laments that we can go to in the book of Psalms. If you don't know what to say, go there. If you're not sure to where to begin, go to the book of Psalms. About a third of the book of Psalms are all laments, and they capture the essence of the struggles that we go through. The third thing to complain the right way is be honest. We pray to a loving Father that knows all that we're going through. He's not surprised by anything. He's not surprised by our struggles or frustrations. There's no point in putting on a fake front. He knows everything. So be honest. be honest about what you're upset with. And the last thing is, don't just complain. Complaint is never the end game. We're never doing this just to have a pity party and just say, well, God, I'm not happy, and that's it. That's never the end game. It's not an excuse to wallow in your pity and wallow in your questions. In the same way that surgeons cut to heal someone, complaint is designed to move us along in our lament. Just like a surgeon, when they have to cut you so that they can fix something and start the healing process, complaint is the same way. It just starts the process. We don't stop there. That's only the second step, right? So there's turn to God, there's complain, and then the next step is to request. The third step in lament is to boldly request. We turn to God, we give him our complaints, and move on to calling upon God to act according to his character. This is the point where our prayer turns from the why question of complaint, why are these things happening, turns from that to the who question of request. Boldly asking God for help based upon who he is and what he's promised eclipses the complaint. Bold requests eclipse complaints. We say eclipse because it captures the fact that the why questions are not always answered before moving on to the request. The why and the who coexist, but not equally. That why question, I'm not like a science expert, so I don't want to get into the big comparison here, but the why is the small part. It gets covered up by the who. The why, the struggle, why is this happening? Why am I going through all this? All these things that are going on, it gets eclipsed by who. The why that is happening turns into who is God. So next, we're going to look at Psalm 22 a little bit. So if you want to flip back a few pages to Psalm 22, we're going to see some examples of these requests that we're talking about. So Psalm 22, as you're flipping there, this is a psalm that was written by David in one of the troubling times of his life. Most scholars think this was written by David after he became king, and there was some type of, there were many struggles he went through. One of these, he wrote this. As you're flipping there in the first two verses, we see that David, he's turning to God and he's complaining. So this is a little recap. So verses 1 and 2, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, we might be familiar with those words. He says, why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. So he turns to God, he's crying out to God, and he's already putting up his complaint. Says, why have you forsaken me? Why are you not looking at me? But take a look at what he does next. Verse 3 starts with the word yet. David is going to turn from complaint to the character of God using the word yet. So verse 3, it says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. And you they trusted and were not put to shame. The word yet becomes that bridge from complaint to bold request and looks at who God is. Verses 6 and 8, David, he explains some more of the pain that he's going through caused by those mocking him. But he turns to the character of God again in verse 9. And he starts with the word yet again. He's complaining, but he says, yet, even though that's happening, verse 9, yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb, you have been my God. In his deep pain and sense of abandonment, David is anchoring his soul on who God is. Mark Vrogot puts it this way. He says, his complaints are not cul-de-sacs of sorrow, but bridges that lead to God's character. He doesn't get stuck in his complaints and just keep going circle and circle and circle. But that word yet is a bridge to lead him to who God is. The word yet is a point that we can use in our prayers to help us specifically and consciously pivot ourselves away from the darkness and pain that we're going through to the glory of the God that we serve. Yet is a helpful word in our laments. And then David continues on to his request. If you look at move down to verse 19, he says, "But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." We see that David is pushed to boldly request from God, confidently calling on God to act. You can feel his desperation. And pain has a way of awakening our souls to the need for God's help. This is one of those blessings of suffering if we allow lament to lead us there. We can recognize our need for our Savior, a need that we have, a need that shows we cannot just depend on ourselves, but fasten ourselves to who God is. And the point of these requests are not only to meet a need, but to truly rely on God. The point is not just to meet the need, but to truly rely on God. If there's anything that I want to emphasize through talking about these laments for the next couple weeks, it's that we need most to rely on God. Above anything else in our lives, we need a Savior and a Redeemer. And that is the point to these prayers above everything else. Even as we're walking through the steps of how to do this biblically, the whole point is to turn away from the pain, to walk through the pain, and look at who God is. But as we're thinking about boldly requesting, we might ask, what should we ask for? If I'm going to go to God and I'm going to let him know what's going on in my life, and I'm going to let him know that I'm struggling, I'm not happy, I don't know how to keep going, what should we ask for? After acknowledging that we are turning to God and who he is, we move into asking God for what it is we need according to his character. I can't emphasize that enough. We can't just say, well, I don't have any money, I really want a Ferrari. That's not how it works. We go to God asking for things according to his character. And there are many different types of requests that we see throughout the Psalms. And here's just a few. Just a few we'll look at. One of them we can categorize as arise, O Lord. We ask God to move. We see multiple Psalms asking God to move and rise. Psalm 10:12 says, "Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted." We know that when God moves, things change. And we're encouraged to call upon God for divine intervention. That's one thing we can ask for God to move in whatever it is. We can ask for God to grant us help. There are many cries for help throughout the Lament Psalms, cries for deliverance, for rescue, for strength. Psalm 60 says, "Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes." Asking God's help through something, that's something that we can ask for, that we can boldly request. Another one is, remember your covenant. This is a phrase that's pretty common in some Psalms. This is a call to God, not because he's forgotten his covenant, but to ask God to be true to his promises. It goes against that temptation to believe what we see with our eyes, but reminds us to love what God has promised and to know what God has promised, know what he's done. Because what we see may not match what we know. Psalm 25 is an example of that. It says, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." Calling on the promises of God, calling on those. Another one that we may not like, but something that we have to acknowledge and we have to understand, another thing we can ask God in these requests is, don't remember our sins. Sometimes our dark times and our struggles are directly connected to the sins that we have committed. Other times it might be the sins of an entire nation that they are to blame. But this request of asking God to not remember our sins is asking that God would not treat us according to what we deserve and calls upon his mercy and grace. Because we have the sacrifice that he sent for us. And so we can call on him. Don't remember our sins. God, forgive us of what we've done. Another psalm says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." There are many types of requests that we see in laments, but these are a few examples of the types that we can use and be encouraged to bring to God. And honestly, just knowing there's different types of requests to me, that's an encouragement to know that we can bring all types of things to God in our times of trouble and anxiety. And in the New Testament, we also see that we are encouraged and commanded to bring this forward because of who Christ is. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus has been through everything that we have. He is our high priest. And verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We're able to confidently go to the throne because we know that Christ has been through it all, but without sin. He's been through that. And so because Christ lived through the troubles and the struggles and the hard times that we go through, we know that we can trust and go with confidence to the throne of grace. So that, and that's the third thing. We've got turn, complain, request. And the last guideline that we see in laments and in our Psalms is to guide us to our own, in our own laments, is to choose to trust. Choose to trust. I'd love to take a moment real quick. I don't know how common this is, but I want to just pause, and I want us to listen to a modern lament that you, some of you may have heard before, honestly. This is going to be a song that has recently come on the radio, and one that Felicia and I have loved for quite a while, honestly. But when you think about it, I want to show this to you guys because there aren't a lot of songs that we sing as a group that can be considered laments. But while we're listening, if you will, notice how this song moves through the guidelines that we've already mentioned. Turning to God, offering our complaints to God, making a request to God, and then finally, this last one that we're talking about, choosing to trust. Let's listen to this song. It's called Flowers by Samantha Ebert.
Blue skies and hillsides feel so far away. And I wrote in my notebook that I've seen better days than the ones as of late. I can't bear the weight. The rain won't stop pouring out my window pane. Now I haven't left my bedroom in 76 days. I wish something would change. 'Cause I'm losing. So I wrote it up in a desperate prayer. Lord, why are you keeping me here? Then he said to me, child, I'm planting seeds. I'm a good God and I have a good plan. So trust that.
So whatever the reason, I'm barely getting by. I'll trust it's a season, knowing that you're by my side every step of the way. And I'll be okay, 'cause I brought it up in a desperate prayer. Lord, why are you keeping me here? Then he said to me, child, I'm planting seeds. I'm a good God and I have a good plan. So trust that I'm holding a watering can. And someday you'll see the flowers grow in the valley. I'll see a valley of flowers that needed time to grow.
And I'll thank you for the rain.
The hurting days of pain.
And I'll bring it up in a grateful prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me there. Cause you're a good God with a real good plan, and you hold my world in a watering can, so I can have peace. Cause flowers grow in the valley.
I hope that was all right. It just really points to how we can go through pain and still understand that there's a good God waiting and watching over us. And so this last step of choosing to trust, it honestly is a choice that we have to make, because we can get stuck and go round and round with our complaints and get stuck there. We can also stop when we're requesting things from God and what we want. But it takes true faith to end a prayer, to end a lament, and trust. And the thing is, we can't make the mistake of thinking that trust is something you decide once and for all and everything's good. It's not like you pray one lament prayer and you're automatically done and you never say one ever again. Life is more complicated than that. Grief is more complicated than that. Our struggles are not that tame to just go through one time. We have to enter lament over and over sometimes so that it can keep leading to trust. We have to embrace an endurance that's not passive. We have to actively choose to do it. We have to actively continue to make the decision to end our prayers on a note of trust. Else we risk the possibility of falling back into complaining, or maybe we fall back into silence, or maybe we fall back into apathy. If we don't choose to end and hold ourselves in trust, we can fall back. Laments are designed to lead us toward faith-filled worship. We acknowledge the grief, the hardship, the reality of what we're struggling with, but we don't stop there. We have an intentional shift from what causes our laments to trusting in who God is, what he has done, and the promises of Scripture. Listen to two examples that show us this shift. In Psalm 31, it says, "For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." Psalm 86, it says, "O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." We see that we can truly be in the midst of battles, truly be in the midst of struggles, and we can still choose, and we should choose, and we have to choose to cling to who we know God really is, gracious and merciful. Even when we don't understand the why of what's going on, even though we truly can't understand why it is that God's got us going through all these hard times, we can hold on to the belief that God has a purpose for all things. We may not understand it, but God has a purpose. That is one of the hardest things we will ever have to do as Christ followers. But this is one thing that will reap the most in our spiritual lives. The last thing I want to leave you with is one more quote from Vrogop, the author. He says, "Learn to live in the tension of pain beyond belief and divine sovereignty beyond comprehension by stepping into trust." Learn how to live in that pain that we truly don't understand and the sovereignty that we can't comprehend, and choose still to trust God. That's the whole point of lament. That is the destination for starting this type of prayer. And I truly hope that going through this has helped at least one of you in some small way, because it's helped me. It's helped me realize that there's so much more we can do in our prayers to God. There's a realness that you may not have been aware of, that you may not have seen in the Bible before, that encourages us to have this realness in our prayers to God. These laments, these prayers through our pain, we turn to God, we complain, We request help, but we continually choose to trust in him. As the musicians come up, I pray that those four steps can be in your mind as you think about this. You may not go through a hard time right this second, but as we're moving forward in our lives, struggles are going to come to everybody. They may have passed before, you may be in one now, or there may be one coming. And these laments, these prayers, help us through all of this. And it helps us end in trust in God. And I pray that laments help us through that, and that we understand that that is a tool that we have, that we're encouraged to use, that we should understand should be common in our prayer life, and that should be common in what we say to God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we can look in the Bible and see that we have these types of prayers to come to you with our struggles, to come to you in our hard times, and trusting that you can handle it, that you understand it, and that we can end with trusting in you. Even though we don't understand it sometimes, even though we are frustrated with it sometimes, but God, we choose to still cling and anchor ourselves in who you are. I pray that that's on our minds, on our hearts. I pray that that helps us through our prayer lives. And God, I pray that if we need to, we can use this to help other people as well. That other people we see in our lives, if they're going through hard times, that we can show them what this lament prayer does. That we need to use this to strengthen our spiritual lives with you, God. God, I pray that we're able to just shine your light to everybody around us this week. That we are able to show your glory to anybody we encounter. And I pray that we just are the best tools we can be for your kingdom and your glory. And God, we love you so much. Amen.